in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading please at verse number 18. I want to read verse 18 down a little bit to verse number 25. There's a lot of preaching in these verses. We could stay on these verses for a year, I guess. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world, of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom tonight. I pray God you'd touch our mind that we might be able to comprehend the Scriptures. And Lord, that we might listen to the Spirit of God as you deal with our heart. Lord, speak to me that I might speak to the people. I pray tonight, Lord, that the will of God might be performed, the Word of God might be heard. Lord, we might receive it and accept it and believe it. Lord, walk out tonight saying it's been good to be down to the house of God and we heard something from the Lord. I pray, God, tonight the Holy Ghost of God walk up and down in our souls. Lord, from heart to heart, breast to breast, mind to mind, Lord, from body to body, God, tonight, that we might feel Thy divine touch upon us as we begin to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. We'll give You the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. I want to bring a thought tonight on something like this. What pleases God? And we're going to use the text tonight. Look with me in verse number 21. The verse that I'll be preaching off of particularly tonight will be verse number 21. There's a lot of preaching in between that and verse 18 down to 21. But I want to look at verse 21 and pull out a word or two out of that verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Look at the next phrase. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? Believe. Now we're looking at this tonight. Do you want to please God? I'm sure if I ask everybody tonight, you want to please God, you'd say sure. Amen. You'd have to be foolish tonight to say you did not want to please God. I want to please God. So as I try to preach tonight, when I try to pray, I say, Lord, help me to please You in preaching the Word of God. If you look that word please up, this is what it means. It means to give pleasure to. It means to satisfy. It means to find enjoyment. Now, how can we tonight please God? There are several things. I'm going to mention maybe two, maybe three. There's a lot of them I could mention, and we may do that in a study or a series. I don't know. But I do know tonight I'm going to give you three things that tonight will please God. If you want to please Him, incorporate these in your life, and I'll guarantee you it'll be a blessing. Number one, we'll look at it. Brother, anything it does with Christ has to do with Christ. You remember what the Bible said? In the book of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, when Jesus went down to the Jordan River, He went down to John the Baptist, and John saw Him. And you remember John was baptizing there. And when He came in, He said, I need to be baptized of thee. And He said, suffer it to be so now. And He baptized Jesus. And when Jesus come up out of the water, guess what happened? What is there in the water? The Bible said that the Lord spoke from heaven. A dove came and lit upon His shoulder. And this is what He said in Matthew chapter 3:17. In the last part of that verse, He said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. So tonight, if you want to please God, please His Son. Amen. Amen. Exalt His Son. I won't spend too much time on that in particular right now, because I want to come back to that sometime and preach a message entirely on that thought. But I want to give you a couple more things that I tell you tonight that God says right here that He wants to do to be pleased, and He wants us to do so that we might please Him. Number one, the Bible said in verse number 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching pleases God, does it not? Preaching pleases God. What kind of preaching? Gospel preaching. The cross preaching. Christ crucified preaching, that's what it's mentioned of. In verse 18, preaching of the cross. You see that? And I mentioned this Sunday morning in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. And in verse number 17, preach the gospel. So if it's going to please God tonight, we need to preach the Word of God or preach the gospel that will please Him. God is pleased in preaching. Amen. Brother, that's what He said. He didn't say He sent us out to go sing. Amen. Which singing's good. But He sent us out to preach the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that gets the job done for all of us tonight. Amen. I appreciate that, don't you? Now, I want to please God. I want to stand up to declare the Word of God. What kind of preaching? Let me just say this. You can preach the cross and not be preaching and pleasing God right. Amen. If you preach the cross as an emblem, as a symbol, and you don't preach Christ on the cross and giving Himself for Jesus, for our sins, and Jesus dying for you and me, then we haven't preached to please God. But when we see Christ on the cross crucified and Him becoming our sin, sin bearer, and preaching Him tonight that He becomes our substitute, when we preach that tonight, that pleases God, does it not? It does certainly please God when we tonight can come to the place that we recognize what the cross stands for. Now we can preach all things about the cross. We can preach about Christ and Him crucified. But if we don't preach Him in His entirety, who He is and what He's there for and what He's done for us, brother, we haven't preached the gospel. We can preach at the gospel, preach about the gospel, but we can't preach the gospel until we incorporate all of it. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for my sin and your sin, He took our place. Amen. When Christ died, He was in my stead. Thank God I can say that tonight, and I know that to be a truth. Amen. So I want you to know that if preaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel, is something that will please God. You see, preaching the gospel magnifies Christ. It glorifies Christ. And God wants us to lift Him to the place. Amen and amen. Now listen to this. God emptied out heaven with His Son. Sent His Son and Jesus came down to this earth. He came and made Himself, the Bible said, a little lower than the angels. He created the angels. But He became lower than the angels for a certain portion of time on this earth to take my place and die for me on Calvary and shed His blood that I could have life and have it more abundant. Thanks be unto God. Amen. I appreciate that. Brother, I'll tell you what. Until we get the place that we exalt Jesus in our preaching to the place that we can raise Him up, that the world can see Christ. He said, if I what? Be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And that's what preaching does. It draws people to Christ. Amen. And when He's lifted up, brother, the world sees Christ. And that's what we need to see. Him and Him crucified tonight as we look at the Word of God. Brother, we need to get into the place and recognize Him that God has placed Him now at the highest position that could ever be over all mankind, over all the universe, over all the world, over all creation. What is that? He's seated tonight at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. There's no higher position. And brother, we need to exalt Christ in our life and in our preaching to the place that God wants us to exalt Him where He is tonight and recognize who He is and where He is and where He's at. And brother, that will please God. So you can please God through the preaching. Secondly, and I'll spend more time on this one. Amen. It pleases God to save men and women. It pleases God to save men and women. Now I'm glad tonight that we've got a saving God. That's what God wants us to do, is preach Him so that He can save tonight. I want you to turn your Bible to Ezekiel, please, to chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel. I don't want to let you see what I say, but I want you to see what the Word of God says. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, please turn. And in the 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, turn with me. And turn to verse number 6. We're going to read several verses here. I want to point out a few things about the Word of God. And then we'll use some more places in the Word in just a minute. You see, saving sinners pleases God. It pleases God to save somebody. And I'll give you some more scriptures on that. Ezekiel chapter 33. Hope you're there. Verse number 6. The Bible said, but if the watchman, that's who's ever over in charge. In our case, it'd be the pastor. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. God said if a watchman sees the sword coming or enemy coming, the devil coming, wickedness coming, and if you don't warn them, God said, I'll hold that watchman in account for not telling people about their soul. That's why the Lord teaches the preacher and tells the preacher that we are to tell men and women about their sins. Verse number 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now look in verse number 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. He keeps going on with the watchman. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. That's what I want to do. Amen. Deliver my soul. Amen to the people. Then he said in verse 10, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Look at verse 11. Here's where I want us to see. The Bible said, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Look at these next words. I have no pleasure. Ain't we talking about pleasing God? He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God said, it does not please me to see anybody go to hell. God said, I'm disturbed that anybody would go to hell. God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God said, my desire is that he turn from his way. It's God's will to save all mankind. Are you with me tonight? Look at this. He said, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God said, turn ye, turn ye. He's saying tonight, listen. He's saying here, I don't want you to die in your sin. God is not pleased when the wicked die. Are you with me? Amen. Now look at this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18. I want you to look at this. You've seen this before. It's been used many, many times by the men of God down through the years. I've used it quite a few times myself in talking to people and preaching and passing by it. But in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the Lord gives us an invitation. He said, come now and let us reason together. Now, how does God get us to reason tonight? Through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the medium. That's the way that God gets your attention and my attention. How? Through the preaching of the Word of God, He lets us know, and He says, now here's what I want you to do. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord said, I want to save you. I want to redeem you. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to be without God. Now turn with me in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, please. And let's go to the third chapter of 2 Peter. This Scripture's been used. I quoted this over and over and over. Brother, this Scripture has stirred and touched my heart and turned my world upside down many times. Give me the right perspective on things sometimes. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Look at it. I can quote it, but I want to read it. The Bible said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But is what? Long-suffering to what? Usward. Not willing that any should perish, but what? That how many? All should come to repentance. You see, the Lord wants to save tonight. Thank God, I'm glad I got a Savior that wants to save. And then, of course, you know the Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God tonight. He wants to save. Now, it pleases God if we exalt Christ. It pleases God if we preach Christ. And beloved, I want you to know, it pleases God if we lift Christ, because through lifting Christ, He can save us. And it pleases Christ. Pleases God to save souls through Christ. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Don't you? Now, God has given us two things to get us to get our attention and get us saved. What are they? I've gone over them and over them many, many times here. And I'll say it again tonight. Two things. The two most things that we need in this church more than anything else. Amen. And that is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Without that, you'll not get saved. Without that, you'll not exalt Christ. So God's given us two instruments tonight to win the lost. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Spirit of God. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. It's a blessing to have the Word of God tonight. I want you to know God will save a sinner anywhere. God will save a sinner anytime. God will save a sinner any place. God will save a sinner any day. God will save a sinner any night that He'll call upon His precious name. Mark her down. And God won't refuse a one. You said, "Preacher, I'm afraid if I called on God, He wouldn't save me." I don't want to hear that tonight. You said, "Preacher, God wouldn't hear me if I called on Him tonight." That's not what the Word of God said. He said, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which I knowest not." The Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank God tonight, call on Him. You said, "Preacher, I'm not sure He'll answer me." I'm telling you tonight, God said He would. Because He's given us the thought and the hope tonight to save our soul. I praise God for that tonight. I do. You see, Jesus loves sinners. Now, I can't comprehend that like you can, or maybe like God can, and maybe you can't comprehend it like God can. I don't understand it. I don't understand how God would save sinners, to be honest with you. I don't know why God would even think about saving my soul. I look at myself and I'll see, and every time I look in the Word of God, now sometimes I've looked in the mirror and didn't say that, and sometimes you may look in the mirror and not say that, but if you want to look in the Word of God, which is God's perfect book, and His law of liberty, and the mirror of His Word tonight, you're going to find yourself as a big fat zero, or a little skinny zero, whatever, but you'll be a zero. I found this out. I'm not too much on math, and I loved math in school. I just loved it. I wasn't all that good at it, but I liked it. I liked it better than about any other subject I had. But I found this out. I learned this real quickly. That if you take a zero, and you plus a zero, or you multiply a zero, and you subtract a zero, what do you get? Zero. Well, let's go a little bit further. If we put a zero and a zero, and add a zero and a zero, plus those two together, what you going to get? Still a zero. And we look at us tonight, and here we are. We may be egg-shaped zeros, but we're all zeros. So we're all nothings. Every single one of us are a nothing. Now we don't like that don't help my ego none. That don't help your ego none either, does it? But you know the facts are the facts. The Word of God is the Word of God. The truth is the truth. And beloved, we're nothing. And listen. But when you put Christ with that zero, you get something. And that's the only difference. Amen. Me being a zero is Christ is with me and in me. Praise God. I praise God for that night. And that's what makes the difference in your life. Now, I tell you, I don't understand why Christ would love sinners. I don't understand why God would love somebody that would crucify Him. Take your Bible, please, and go into the book of Luke. Into the book of Luke. Let's look at the book of Luke for a moment. I want to go to the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. Now, praise God that He loves sinners. You understand in the night that it pleases God to save sinners? I believe that. Because God teaches it. Luke chapter 23, I want you to turn to verse 39. Luke 23 and 39, look at the Word. The Bible said, "And one of the malefactors." You know what a malefactor is? Criminals. Amen, they're lawbreakers. That's what a malefactor is. "And one of the malefactors," and how many were there? Two? Amen. There's three crosses, but there's only two malefactors. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, 'If,'" now here's that devil coming in again, "'if thou be Christ, save thyself and us.'" That's what one of the malefactors said. "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?'" He asked a question. Now, he's got a different view than the other one. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, listen to this, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now this man knew he is condemned. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. But I want you to notice tonight in verse number 43, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now look at this just for a moment. In the preaching of the Word of God, which pleases Christ, does it not? It pleases God. If we preach Christ, it pleases God. We've got that established. We know that's so. And it pleases God to save sinners. We've got that established to a certain degree so far. But when the Word of God is preached, it does two things. Amen. It divides, number one, amen, and I'm going to break down what it divides. The Word of God preached will divide. It always has. It always will. You said, does the Word of God divide? Sure, it divides. The Word of God will divide the saved from the lost. The Word of God will divide the sinner from the child of God. You got that? It'll also divide the sinner. And the sinner, there's two classifications of sinners that it will divide. Number one, you got that crowd that 1 Corinthians is talking about, that they were going around and they were in their own wisdom. They were running after the Greeks, and the Greeks believed in all their wisdom. And then there's another crowd, they were religious. That was a religious business of being lost. That's those who trust in church membership, baptism, and good works, and doing deeds, and doing things. That's that crowd. That's religion. People got religion. So what happens? The gospel divides the religious crowd, amen, from the saint of God. And secondly, it divides that crowd tonight that thinks they're smarter than God. Now the Bible said to them who perish, it is what? Foolishness. Why is it foolish? Because it upsets his mind. He said, hey, I don't believe in the cross of Calvary. It's absurd. That's what he's saying. It's foolishness. I don't understand that. I don't grab that. I don't believe that. I will not accept that because it messes up my mentality. It messes up my thinking. I can't think that because he's talking about the wisdom. Now, but now that it's saved, the Bible said it's the what? Power of God unto salvation. Amen. That may have confused you just a little bit, but we'll get into that a little bit more, and I'll break that down for you a little later. But I want to talk about that just for a minute. The sinner. We're talking about this man here in Luke. On the cross of Calvary, let's just look at some things. There's two malefactors. Two of them are criminal, and one of them is the very Son of God who has no sin. One does not need to be there for sin, except for the being the substitute for sin. Two of them should have been there. They deserve to be there. But one died and died a death that he did not have to really be there for. But he was dying my debt and paying my sin debt and paying my price on the cross of Calvary. One thing about it, one of them acknowledged Christ and the other refused Christ. That's that division I'm telling you about tonight. In sinners, brother, when the gospel's preached, you've got to do one of two. You've got to accept or you've got to refuse it. You've got to believe it or you've got to say no to the gospel. And you pay the consequences. So we look at this man. First of all, he rebukes his friend. You remember he speaks to the other and he said, hey, this man has done nothing, but we justly hear. We need and deserve to die. But he's saying, to his friend, he rebukes him. And then secondly, he not only rebukes his friend, but he condemns himself. He said, I'm worthy. I should die. And that's what every sinner does when he gets the gospel come to him. He recognizes that he needs to be in hell. He deserves to be in hell. Every one of us deserves to be in hell. But thank God the blood of Christ has made the difference. Now we got to discussing a little bit of this yesterday. And I thought maybe I'd just touch a little bit of it tonight. When Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary, I want to tell you something that blows most of men and women's minds in our churches in this day because preachers don't preach it. And that is when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He paid for every sin that you ever have committed, who are committing today and will commit in the future. Somebody said, I don't believe He's paid for my sins in the future yet. You got a problem. Amen. If He didn't, how are you going to get saved from Him if He didn't pay for Him on Calvary? He's not coming back again and dying on the cross of Calvary again. He paid the sin debt for every sin of every man that would be committed or has been committed. You got that? All right, well, preacher, I shouldn't go around asking God to forgive me. Now, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you can put that Scripture in reverse and not even heard it. I don't believe in changing Scriptures at all. You know better than that. But you know this tonight. If you don't confess it, you won't get forgiven for it. Any sin you've got in your... Well, preacher, if He's already died for it and the blood's been shed for it, why do I have to confess it? All right, you don't. You don't have to confess it. You can tote it the rest of your life, but your life may not be long. You understand? Now, let me just explain that a minute. If tonight you sin against God, the Holy Ghost, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost will tell you that you sinned. If you sin and you don't have anything on the inside that tells you that you sinned, then you're not saved. The Spirit of God dwells in you, and the Spirit of God, when you step out of line, said, hey, you're out of line. How many times has that happened to you? Probably today. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have that problem, but brother, the Holy Spirit speaks to me all the time. Amen. I hadn't arrived yet. Amen. You know what? And you ain't arrived yet. That's my time to say amen. So we haven't got there yet. We have sin in our lives. Preacher, I don't sin. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. 1 John. I can give you the chapter and the verse if you want it. Amen. Read 1 John chapter 1 and read verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. You need all of them to get all of it. Now, what happens? You don't have to confess your sin. No, you don't. You can tell a lie, you know you told a lie. You say, I don't lie. God's people don't lie. The Bible said, hey, liars have their part in the lake of fire. Amen, amen, amen. But when you got saved, God changed you from being a liar to a child of God. But that don't mean a child of God can't tell a lie. You tell me tonight, I ain't never told a lie since I got saved, and I'll tell you the same thing I told you a while ago. You're a liar. You just told another one. Now, I tell you tonight, I'm not preaching something that's foreign to the Word of God. This is true. But what happens is you get that sin in your life. God said you lied and you didn't confess it, and the Holy Spirit reminds you of it and reminds you. And you know what? You may get by with it for four or five times. The Holy Spirit tells you. And tomorrow He may tell you again. Next week He might tell you again. And 3 months later you ain't got forgiveness of it. And He might remind you again. But somewhere down the road, God will quit reminding you. Now guess what's going to happen when you don't confess that sin? You're going to start losing your blessings. The hand of God is going to withdraw from you. He's not going to come out of you. He's not going to, you know, take your salvation from you. That just don't happen. You're a child of God. You're sealed to the day of redemption. God gave you that promise when you got saved. But what's happening, preacher? What happens is God withdraws His hands of blessing. Now you try to do things and you wonder where the touch of God was that you once had. You wonder what happened to that good touch that God gave you. You wonder why the songs don't stir you. You wonder why the preaching don't stir you. You wonder why a church don't have any use in your life anymore. You wonder why the things of God don't seem to be as important. And now it's easier for you to pick up something else and take that over. And you're getting further and further and further away from God. And you're getting colder and colder and colder. And your blessings are being withdrawn. You know why? You've got unconfessed sin in your life. Brother, after a while, God says, listen, you're just... And see, what's going to happen is you're going to become bigger stumbling blocks every day of your life. You're going to get in the way. You get up in the church and sing, and I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. And the fact is, you're telling the truth. But it's not in the bright and shining way that you're in. Brother, you got in a backslidden condition. And brother, you are in the way for God to be able to bless. So God says, I'm going to straighten that out. So then you come up over the road. Amen. You have not confessed it. You have not confessed it. And God's been warning you and telling you. And your life's getting colder and colder. One day you come up over the top of the hill and a drunk driver hits you head on. Out into eternity you go. God cuts your days short. And then your family's going to go up and down the country talking about the fellow that was drunk and hit you. And they're going to crucify him the rest of his days. When the fact was, God had taken you out of the way because you was in the way. That happens all the time. Well, maybe you don't get killed. Maybe he hits you and he breaks your leg and your arm and cuts your ear off. And you're laying over there in the hospital and you say, that old drunk come up on the wrong side. Listen, if you'd have been where God was, could not God stop the drunk and put him on where he needed to be? It's hard, saints of God, but I want to tell you something. That's why a lot of us are having problems. Why people have problems. You get sin in your life and you don't get rid of that sin and you don't confess that sin. God knows how to take you out of the way and put you. He may put you on the flat of your back for a while. He may not just take you right out. He may put you on the flat of your back one day and you wonder why you lost your job. You lost all your income, lost everything you've got. Lost your health, and now from now on you can't work anymore. You're laying there, and for the rest of your days, I can go back in my life and tell you that there's things that happened to me in my life years ago. And I looked at it and I said, Lord, why'd you let that happen to me? I was going to church. I was preaching the Word of God. I was doing this. And brother, you know what? The Holy Ghost reminds me there's things in my life that nobody knowed anything about. You know when he reminded me? When he had me sitting down to where I couldn't do nothing else but think about it. And while I was thinking about those things, he reminded me. And I realized it was me. It wasn't God. There's nothing that can happen to you today but what God don't allow it to happen. And if God don't allow it, the devil, there's not enough demons in hell. There's not a devil strong enough tonight. Nobody could touch you with anything. They could shoot you with cannons. And you tonight, they'd backfire in their face if God did not want you to be shot. I said, I don't believe that, preacher. We're blaming everybody else around us for the problems they've caused on us when the fact is we've caused the problems on ourselves. I've seen that over and over and over. Amen. Well, God loves to save sinners. He loves to save sinners. Amen. They said this was on a tombstone one day. I'm going to be through here in just a minute. So this is on a tombstone. It said this, remember friends, when passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare for death. And follow me. And a fellow come down before it and wrote something below it and said, to follow you, I'll not consent until I know which way you went. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? I want you to know tonight, we're all going to leave this world. We better make sure we're ready. Amen. And God loves to save sinners. Now, God is pleased in the preaching. Not foolish preaching, but in the foolishness of preaching. And what's he saying foolishness for? What's foolishness in preaching? What the world says is foolishness. They say it's absurd. It's sheer nonsense. That's what the world says. that Christ could save somebody from a cross. I don't believe it. That can't be. That's what this wisdom of the world says tonight. But I've got news for you. He saves through the preaching, the Word of God, and He loves to save. He saves souls. There's one more thing, and I want to talk about this in the preaching and in the saving of souls. Let me just kind of get it like this. I don't know about you, and I've mentioned this before. I've used this illustration. But sometimes my wife fixes up a few things, and she's getting a little bit where she forgets too much. And about the cooking part, that's the part I really miss. Sometimes we get a little meal, and she puts it out, and I eat it, and I say, there's something missing. This ain't exactly like what she's been doing. She used to be one of the best biscuit makers that I have ever had or eat biscuits of. Now, some of y'all ladies might challenge that tonight. But she said, I'll say to you tonight, she's been one of the best biscuit makers. But the poor soul tonight, she's not here to defend herself either, and you'll tell on me, I know you will. But her biscuits are not the best in the world anymore. And sometimes she gets one, it falls on two pieces. You try to put a piece of sausage in it, and then you finally just lay the sausage down and crumble the biscuit on it and eat it. And she'll say, I didn't do this to it or didn't do that to it. But she forgot it when she was putting it together. I don't know what it is. Sometimes all you wives have made some things and the husband picked it up and said, this spaghetti don't taste exactly right. I'll put a little salt on it. And still, I can't figure out what it is. And you keep eating, and a few minutes you look, and you find out there's no spaghetti in it. It's all sauce. Something's missing. You understand what I'm saying? I'm getting a thought here. We go to the house of God, and we preach. We know that God is blessed, and He's pleased by the preaching. And we know that God is pleased by saving. He does that. But the only way it does it, and I tell you what I said a while ago, and I'll mention it to you and remind you again, there's two things. The Word of God is what is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword. And then secondly, there is the Spirit of God, and if the Spirit of God don't drive it to a man's heart and wake him up in his deadness of sin and let him see that the Word of God is quickening him and making him alive, brother, he'll never come to Christ. And brother, it's important that we keep two things in this church. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Every one of us needs the Spirit of God. And we can't come into the church with, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. It takes us to be where we need to be for the Spirit of God. We want the Spirit of God on the choir. We want the Spirit of God on the singing. We want the Spirit of God on testimony. We want the Spirit of God on everything, even taking an offering. We want the Spirit of God on everything. We want the Spirit of God on the last amen. Yeah. But we can't come in here with our minds in the gutter and our minds out yonder. Amen. Can you just see this tonight? We come in and our lives are not where they need to be and the Spirit of God's missing and God can't bless it. And whatever we need to do to get the Spirit of God on the preaching of the Word of God, that's exactly what we need because the Spirit of God does. It's not the preaching of man. It's not the preaching of the sermon or even the Scriptures here. It's the preaching of the Word of God that exalts the Lord and blessed by the Spirit of God that drives it into the hearts. God can put the Word of God where I can't put the Word of God and where you can't put the Word of God. And the Spirit of God must be there. And so we need to pray that God fill every one of us, the Spirit of God would come into church. Amen. Now you can't sit down yonder and cuss on Monday and come in here sing on the choir on Sunday. And the Spirit of God won't be on you. You said, I don't believe a Christian cusses. We'll just leave that there. I believe Christians sin. Amen. I believe Christians sin, but if you're going to practice cussing, I would check up and see if I had the real goods. And I'm not condoning it, but you say it every once in a while, a little cuss word every once in a while. You could just be carnal and backslid on God. You could be lost too. Amen, by the way. But this business, these people running around saying, well, nobody ever said, listen, some of you don't cuss, but you got just about as bad of slang words you say. What's the difference? You just shortened it and make it sound better. You got your own words that the world's got. Amen. And the Spirit of God won't be on you. You can be down yonder and do some things that you shouldn't do. Go some places you shouldn't go. Live a life that you shouldn't live. Now, we're going to be preaching on this, I believe. I want to talk about some things that pleases God. We're not here to please the church. We're not here to please one another. But we're here to please God. I want to please God. And if we please God, God will stay with us here. Amen. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to quit right there because if I get started on this, we'll be here in a little while. And this is a whole brand new message. And I don't want to do any injustice to that message. I want to be able to get it all out and not just a little portion of it. So I believe tonight we'll go home knowing this one thing or these two things. That God is pleased in preaching. Number two, He's pleased in saving souls. That's as simple as you can get it out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. How about that? Amen? Thank God. There's some more. I wanted to preach about that word believe. What it means to believe. That's another sermon. Amen. Praise God. We'll just stop right there. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I pray the Lord touch you. I pray tonight as you come to the house of God and have come that you let the Lord use you the best He can use you tonight. And the way to do that is to make sure everything's all right in your heart and life. We have to confess our sin many times. If you hadn't confessed in a long time, you need to do that tonight. Let's stand, please. We're going to play a song. May tonight you listen to the Lord as He speaks. If there's anything in your heart, saved or lost, you feel like you need to come to the altar for, just come on the altar. Amen. Appreciate you coming. Thank you for being here tonight. While they play, won't you bow your head, please? Close your eyes. Let the Lord speak while they play. Let the Holy Spirit walk up and down in your heart. Listen to God, please, tonight.